Yes, focus, Daniel Sanya. Wax on, wax on. Okay. Our mind, there's the candlestick or the lampstand. The emotions is the table showbread where there's fellowship. The will is the altar of incense where worship starts. That's very important, very important. But that's as your soul. Your soul is your personality. It's how you think, feel, want, desire, choose. It's who you are. It makes you different to anybody else. However, your soul is in flux. It's always changing. You're not the same person you were in high school. Some of you are saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so you're saying, dang, I was a really cool person in high school. But you're different. You think different. You think different than you did last year. You have different emotions. You've been through things. You don't used to have free emotions and then you get junked up with all sorts of pain and damage. Hey, you've been changing over the years on how you think, how you feel, what you want. You're changing. But the person that we know as you is your soul. That's the you-ness of you. Okay? When you think of somebody, you think of their body. You think of their image. But if you think about them a little bit, you also feel all the emotion that comes with knowing them. Pretty interesting. The soul. Soul relates to other people. As we talk to each other's souls. Your soul talks to my soul. We try to exchange ideas. It's pretty slick. We use the physics of the physical realm to do it. Vibrations and talking and ringing in the ear and all that good stuff and the neurons and the connections. And yeah, we can talk about all that, but that's just the physics. It's my soul trying to talk to your soul. Your soul trying to talk to me. And we relate. Soul is cool. And he had a body. Body is very interesting because it's just plain flat, that physical thing that you hang around in. Okay? The body. Our body relates to the environment. I called Mike and asked him, I said, what's the dress code? In case it hasn't changed or whatever, you know, what am I supposed to wear? He said, no, it doesn't matter. I almost. Anyway, I thought, nah, I'll be nice, okay? Doesn't matter. But I do know that one thing he said is, bring a coat, it's cold out here. The day he was telling me that, it was 10 below at my place. I'm going, right. He says, nah, maybe not. Okay, so that's right enough. But our body relates to the environment. When it's cold, we're cold. I know what real cold is. We're missionaries in Russia. Okay? So, in the year 1994, just for the grins and giggles, we went on a missions trip from Moscow to Novosibirsk, Siberia in January. Makes a person really wonder. They led brilliant people on the mission field. I don't know, man. It was cold. Oh, it's cold. I know what cold is. I know what hot is. You guys probably know hot. You know what hot is? You know what it feels like? Your body is relating to the environment. You know what it's like to be hungry. You know what it's like to be thirsty. Some of you know what it's like to be really hungry, and some of you know what it's like to be really thirsty. We know the environment. God to Adam was an outside influence. He was another person. He talked with him, walked with him. He was somebody else. He was an outside influence. That's cool. What's also pretty wild is that sin, the devil, and the world, who did exist. There was sin on the planet. Remember? He did talk to Lucifer. Right? The snake. He didn't talk to him. He was there. There was sin on the planet. The devil was on the planet. The world system had been established. It was there, but God told Adam to conquer that, subdue it, bring it under power. How cool. But there was an outside influence. Adam was in a condition known as innocence. Wow. To have communion with God with no sin. We don't understand that one. We have absolutely no idea what that one goes for. God talked with him, walked him in the cool of the day, talked to his spirit, soul, and body, and the behavior happened. That's cool. Well, then one day, Adam fell. Here's what happened. Okay, he became a sinner. The Bible says, in the day you eat of it, dying you shall die. Now it shows both process and end result. Dying you shall die. You eat of it, there's going to be death happening. Death is the result. Well, that's exactly what happened. Is the first thing that happened is his spirit died. And it died dead. As soon as he ate of the fruit, there was a death relationship between him and God. There was a break in the relationship. That's heavy. That's totally heavy. Now, we also know that his soul started producing death. Because if soul is how you relate to other people, here comes the Lord walking in the cool of day. He says, Adam, where are you? He says, I'm hiding. Every two-year-old will tell you, you don't tell people you're hiding when you're hiding. That's dumb, right? But if you've never done it before, you don't know the rules of which, but I'm hiding. It shows that his brain wasn't working completely at the time. I'm hiding. He says, hiding, why? Well, because I'm naked. Now, he was hiding, and it showed that he had fear. First time he'd ever had fear. He says, well, I'm naked. He had shame. First time he'd ever had shame. And the Lord said, you're naked? Who told you you're naked? Did you eat of the fruit? And immediately he was guilty. He had never felt guilt before. And what did he say? Well, that woman you gave me. Yeah, just like Ma. Yeah, wedges. All her fault. Blame. So immediately, in a matter of a couple sentences, he had promoted and shown that he had fear, shame, guilt, and blame in just a couple sentences. Death was happening out of his soul, promoting. His body started to die. There was so much life on the planet because of creation. It took him 930 years to die, but he did die. We don't know how long he was in the garden before, because who keeps count when you're immortal? Happy 9 millionth birthday is kind of redundant. Okay, so we don't know. But we do know after 930 years, and then he died. That's amazing. Now, the Bible calls his spirit, his dead spirit, a term. And the Bible uses this. This is not my term. It's what the Bible calls it. It calls it the old man. It's the old man. This, the dead spirit is the old man. Now, God was still an outside influence. But here's the bad part. As soon as man chose sin, as soon as he submitted to sin, what happened? That's the problem. Sin moved in. Now, sin is in the man's spirit. Sin is who he is. He is a sinner. Simple. We don't use that word sin much in our society anymore. Anybody ever hear it? I'll tell you, sin is still the problem. Sin, this is every unbeliever you've ever known. They're there under sin. Now, here's what's really wild. The devil in the world has a connection to that sin that's in the spirit. A direct connection. What an uphill battle God has to win somebody to himself. Your default setting is to sin. You sin automatically. You just do it. It's simple. To not sin ain't so easy, is it? So God has a default setting he has to go against just to bring you to himself, just to tell you about who you are. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. That brings us to this little contraption. I'm an electrician, so therefore, that's a switch. If you're a plumber, that's a valve. I'm an electrician, so that's a switch, okay? It's how I can choose with my will to connect my soul to whatever I want to empower it. If I connect with the Spirit, though, well, that's pretty heavy duty because I just connected my whole soul to the sin that's in my spirit. It doesn't matter. Here's the biggest thing you're going to have to learn. Wherever there's sin, there's death. There's a law of sin and death. If there's a choice of sin, there will be death. There is always that. It's the connection of sin and death. Wherever there's sin, there's death. Repeat after me. Wherever there's sin, there's death. Okay. That makes a real problem, doesn't it? Let's get him born again. All in favor say aye. The rest of you get saved. See, I have a good thing about politics. I can either vote my way or get born again. That's all there is. Okay. Simple. First thing that happens to this critter who's born again, who comes to the Lord, saved, born again, all those terms we use, there is the first thing that happens to this person is the deepest, and it's the reason we're talking today, and that is the Holy Spirit moves into a spirit. I'm going to have to teach you how to respond. I know I'm going to have to teach you how to respond. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to teach you. Really? Oh, that was good! The Holy Spirit! Get it? We should be just freaking out right now. The Holy Spirit is in my spirit. You get it? My whole spirit is saved. It's awesome. I got the Holy Spirit. I have tried my hardest my entire life to explain the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I haven't done it yet. Huh? If you knew the Holy Spirit was living inside you, would you do what you do? See, we don't get it. I really worry about our brain power, you know? God, the Holy Spirit Himself is living inside my spirit. I don't get that. I don't understand, but it's powerful. It's awesome. That should be, wow. Man, if nothing else, you wake up in the morning and go, Holy Spirit, give me. Wow. That's enough to get up for breakfast right there. Why are we moaning and groaning? Why are we there? We have the Holy Spirit. Now, we were in prayer this morning over in that hot little room over there. Well, it is. Have you noticed? He's standing in front of the heater going, oh, this is great. Yeah, it's hot in there. Hot for prayer, right? That's what it's hot in the Spirit. I'm over there praying today, and the Lord just said to me, the word that I have for you this morning. Are you ready for this? And it's going to be repeated to you several times today. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? Wait a minute. Why should you be stopped? Who do you have living in your spirit? Why are you stopped? What's going to possibly stop you from anything that God would ask you to do? Why should anything stop you? Why are you stopped? You shouldn't be. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Try to explain that to somebody while you're in St. Arbucks sometime. Isn't that what it's called, St. Arbucks? Right? Well, there's more spiritual things happening in there than most churches. So I tell you, it's just like, we always meet in St. Arbucks. Hey, where are you going to be? I'll meet you down at St. Arbucks to have a cup of coffee. And say, praise Jesus. It's all good. Okay? It's where you put the period. It's all that matters. Okay. The other thing that happens is my spirit is born from Him. I am no longer of my old man, Adam. I'm no longer my old man. I have a brand new man. I am not born anymore under the family of Eddie. I am a brand new creature born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God with a Father that is God of the universe. Why am I stopped? My word! We should be the freest people ever on the planet. Now, what's really cool is my old man has been crucified with Christ. I'm united with Jesus in His death, which kills my old man, in His burial, which means it's final, and in His resurrection, when He came out of the tomb, is my birthing experience into the Spirit, and I am a brand new creature. I've been united with Jesus, and nothing stops me. Because I am changed. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. We get so caught up in all the little folderol that happens in our lives. Imagine, you know, I got a car payment coming. Big whooping deal. Ask God what He wants to do with it. Why are we stopped? Here's the big, big deal. Is that because of that, my spirit now is saved. My spirit is saved, totally saved, all the way, 100%, nothing left, totally, big time, you got it, hallelujah, saved. My spirit. My spirit has the Holy Spirit living within it. My spirit is united with Jesus in His entire life. My spirit looks like Jesus does. My spirit is everything ever could be possible to it, is alive in the power of God. Wow. That is awesome. The problem is, where'd the sin go? You see, sin was in my spirit, but it's no longer in my spirit. Does that mean I'm sinless? They said no awful quick. No, I'm not sinless. Where'd the sin go? Romans 6, 7, and 8 tells us. It goes into the body. That means you house it, you carry it. It's part of you. I think I know where it is in the body, but that's a whole other issue. Oh, you got to know now, huh? I'll take up another offering for this one. Oh, this is good. Okay, no, I'll tell you where it is in the body. Where I think it is in the body. I think it's in the blood. Because the blood comes through the sperm. It always comes from the fathers. Okay? Came down from Adam. I believe that is where it is. But there was one person I know of who did not have an earthly father. His name was Jesus. He had a heavenly father, and the blood he spilled on the cross was totally untainted. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? See, now you see, you're with me now. I like this front row. This is good people down here. All right. The devil and the world has a direct connection to the sin that's in my body. Now look at the dichotomy I have. I have a spirit that's totally born again, and I have a body that's full of sin. I got a problem. Tough noogies. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, well, here's the problem. See that little choice in that will? What is really cool is I can choose the things of the Holy Spirit. Wow! And the outcome is, for the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. How cool is that? I can have access to all the life that God has. How? By choosing in my will to walk in the things of the Spirit. Now, we should just have an altar call and go home and everybody go, yay! No, not yet. Because we got something else to talk about. As a Christian, I can choose with my will to walk in sin. I can choose to put my mind to think wrong thoughts. I can choose to have wrong desires. I can choose to have wrong emotions. I can be completely messed up, and I can choose to walk in sin. Can you? This is interactive. You guys have got to talk to me. You got to talk to me a little bit, okay? Don't make me come back here. I am completely mobile. I'll sit on your lap and preach for a while. I don't care. Okay? What happens if I walk in sin? What's the outcome? Because where there's sin... Good. You picked up on that, man. You're good. I know. And the outcome is death. Now, this is too cool. Where's the heart? Some of you know where the heart is. Took me a long time to discover where the heart was. How do you put that in a chart? Chart the heart. I mean, how do you do that? I went to all these people that had these charts, and they had concentric circles usually. Spirit in the middle, soul, body. And I'd walk to these guys and say, cool chart, man. Like your stuff. Where's the heart? Yeah, in the middle. Yeah. Nah. Nah. So many of the verses, I wrote out every verse in the Bible that had the word heart in it because I wanted to find out. And it just confused the brains out of me. Because so many verses sound like it's in the soul. The heart is despicable, it's deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you don't quote that like a pirate, it's invalid. I just want to let you know. Just, you got it. Just got it. That sounds like the soul. But then you get all these ones that are in the spirit. It says, I will pour my love out in your heart. No, so it took me a while. But the Lord finally just had to show me because I just got confused. It's the connection between the soul and the spirit. It's the connection. Now, since we built this thing off of the tabernacle, everybody knows that the heart, therefore, is the connection between the holy place and the holy of holies, which makes it the veil. The veil was hung on how many columns? This is a test. Come on, this guy's been teaching you forever. How many columns? Four. Wow. You mean we're supposed to remember this stuff? Yeah. Four. Why four? The cherubim were embroidered on the veil. And in the temple, the columns actually become cherubim with their wingspan across. The cherubim are what? Those little creatures in Ezekiel that have four faces. These are called the attributes of God. These are the attributes that God wants us to have in our soul. He wants us to be kingly. He wants us to be servants. He wants us to be man the way God intended. And He wants us to be godly. He has these attributes for us. They're right there. Okay? However, what needs to happen is when we have this thing open, the things of the Spirit are supposed to be able to make it into my soul. I'm supposed to be able to have connection to the things of the Spirit of God in my soul. How cool. Why? Because the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it come the very issues of life. Life is in my spirit. If I guard my heart, the issues of life make it into my soul. How? there's a problem. Wounds, when I get hurt, I harden my heart. When I choose sin, I harden my heart. I harden my heart. The hardness of my heart is this horrible condition that happens to each one of us. The hardness of heart is your issue. What happens? You can look back on your life. You ever been hurt? Bah, here he goes. Yeah, right, man. I'll tell you, I could write a book. Many have. Have you been hurt? What did that do? Did that make you closer to God, or did that just piss you off to people? Did you start making judgments against folks? Did you start closing off to people? Did you start feeling bad about folks? What is that? That's all hardness of heart from wounds. Anybody here ever choose to sin? Did the right crowd come? Yeah? All right. Well, if you chose to sin, you had to harden your heart from the Holy Spirit to do that, didn't you? Anybody here feel the effects of a hardened heart because you chose sin? Yeah. Right crowd came. You put that out the invitations. That was very good. Here's the issue. Wherever I have a hardness of heart, the things of the Spirit cannot make it into my soul. That makes who king in my hardness of heart? That makes you worshiping you. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. We are Presbyterian. We're not Presbyterian. I'll be Presbyterian. No, just don't go there. Just leave it alone. Okay? If the things of the Spirit can't get from your spirit into your soul, you've got a problem, huh? Because in that area in your soul, you have to trust in yourself. And if you're trusting in you, according to Jeremiah chapter 17, what are you doing? You're cursing that whole area of your life. Hardness of heart is killer, isn't it? You know, it's not just one way. Hardness of heart blocks everything. A wall is not just one way. What is a stronghold from one point of view where it's keeping me safe is a prison from somebody else's point of view keeping you in. Every wall is a two-way wall. I also cannot see who I am in the Spirit. So everywhere where I have a hardness of heart, I have a bad image of who I am. I have an understanding of who I am, and that's why I fight everybody. That's why you get offended. That's why you get mad at people. You walk in and somebody says something and you immediately snap their heads off. Why are you getting angry? Because they are actually validating your bad image of who you are. If you knew who you were in the Spirit, you wouldn't do that. Did I just make sense? Too much sense? And this is all review. This is what's scary. Okay. Here's the problem. In those areas where hardness of heart is, those are the areas where the Holy Spirit has been convicting you. That's the areas where He is trying to tell you that there's something between you and Him. You see, it's not something where He's convicting you to try to make you feel guilty and feel bad. No, conviction is not about Him trying to make you feel bad and trying to show that He's going to blast you into oblivion. That's the God I knew when I was growing up. But the God I found out was the real God was the one who says, this thing that's between you and me has got to come out so that I can come closer to you. I know that there's a God who is walking to us and He's trying to find these hardness of heart. He's not trying to find them. He knows right where they are. And He's trying to show them to you. And you know what we do? We hide from that. We don't want God to show us where there's a hardness of heart. Nobody here likes to find out where we have a hardness of heart. It's not easy. It's not fun. And people start to get a little bit of freedom and they say, okay, I'm done. No, you're not. I'll tell you when you're done. You're done when you are absolutely and totally Christ-like in your soul. Which means what? Job security. For the pastor. Because you have a problem. Until we get all those done, until each one of us is Christ-like, we're not done yet. And see, it's not about us condemning you for the sin in your life. Well, I don't want people to find out I've done that. People come to me all the time and they say, I don't want anybody to know what I've done. This is what's kind of funny. I like to tell people what I've done. The junk. I tell people, hey, listen, I tell whole rooms full of people about my pornography addiction for 20 years. I tell everybody. Why? Because it doesn't have any hold on me anymore. That's not my identity the way it used to be. Now there's a freedom. Now I can tell people, you don't have to stay in the pornography. You can be free because I'm free. Look at all this junk that I did. Now we can be free. Hallelujah. What's stopping you? Your fear. Your fear is what's stopping you. You're afraid of what people are going to think of you. Why does that matter? Why has that ever mattered? I think what's funny is people say, I don't care what people think of me. Yeah, I love it when people say that. Really? Can we test the theory? See, in certain areas, they don't care what people think of them. But in other areas, they absolutely care what people think. Making sense so far? I'm going to show you something here that's really interesting. What happens is when I can walk in the things of the Spirit, and then I ask Jesus, because He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit, because that's what it says. John the Baptist said that. The one coming after me, right? He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. We'll talk about fire some other day. But you can ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can't you? You already have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now you can ask for the baptism. Here's what that looks like. Ask for it, and the Holy Spirit comes over your soul and your body. He comes on you so that you can be empowered by Him to touch other people in their soul and their body. There should be a lot of shouting going on in this room. There really should be a lot more shouting. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens? You are enabled by the Holy Spirit to touch people and bring them freedom and help them in other ways. And your soul can touch their soul. Your body can touch their body and bring them healing, bring them wholeness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when He comes on you to affect others. There's nothing to stop it. All you have to do is ask for it. Everybody gets it. If they're waiting for you to get a certain semblance of freedom from sin before you get to the baptism, which is what the whole Pentecostal holiness movement was all about, that you had to get yourself clean before the Holy Spirit would come on you, folks, we're all toast. None of us can get clean enough in ourselves to get the Holy Spirit. Now, but here's one thing that can happen. I hope this shows up on here really well. What happens is while I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, I choose to walk in sin. Now we have to think about this. I hope this shows up here. When I do that, what happens is it diminishes the power of the Holy Spirit. See how that got lighter? It got lighter right there. I can diminish the power of the Holy Spirit in my life by me choosing to walk in sin. Why? Because I am not the vessel He can pour through. He has to ooze through. I limit Him. I think they're getting it. You hear the gears grinding right there? Like an old Ford truck. You hear those gears grinding? No, I haven't ground your truck down. Just be relaxing. Which brings us, that was all introduction. You ready for the message? What? What time is it? Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. I always love when I say, what time is it? It doesn't matter. People go, what? Of course it matters. What's wrong with you? Okay. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we talked about that. Is that cool? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that awesome? Who are you? You house the Holy Spirit and you take Him with you everywhere you go. Why are you so awesome? You are the housing of the Holy Spirit on this planet. We still don't get this. We're nice shouting. We should be dancing. Okay, we'll leave that alone. That's another time. But we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He comes on you so you can't actually affect somebody else's life. We should be dancing on that one too. Now we're going to talk about the one that changes life, called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it isn't the same. You've heard this. Is there a spirit-filled church? Well, I don't know. Well, did they preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, probably, yeah. Does that make them Spirit-filled? No. They're not the interchangeable terms. Now we're going to have to discuss what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. This is where it gets fun. There was is one indwelling. Once you get born again, you got it. One baptism. You ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got it. Now you can diminish it, you can increase it, but you got it. But there are many fillings needed. This is where it gets really fun. Many fillings. This is so misunderstood. I love talking about this one. It's absolutely mandatory that we understand how this works. Absolutely mandatory. Now, am I going too fast for you note takers? My daughter throws things at me for going too fast. Dad! Quit! Typing on a little iPad. Blazing. Okay. Ephesians 5:18. You wonder when I was going to get to the Bible, huh? Yeah, really? Yeah, says the wife. Thank you, wife. All right. Ephesians 5:18. You can look it up in your own. It's right there. It's kind of interesting. Most of you know this verse. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, or King James, excess, but be filled by the Spirit. Now, we've seen this verse. Usually, in my old days, it was all us religious people trying to prove people shouldn't drink. See, that's what they use this verse for. You ain't supposed to be using any alcohol. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery. Yeah, well, yeah, well, why are you convicted? We can go any direction with that one there. Okay. Whoa. We can talk, okay? Set up some meetings with this one. All right, now. You're Eric, is that right?
Jesse.
I knew that was right. I get you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been following you. Really set up meetings for this. No. Okay. This is fun. Let's break this thing down. Do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery. What in the world is debauchery? Well, let's think about this in the Greek. In the Greek, it's the Greek word asotia. Soto, sozo, salvation. Whenever you put the A on the front of it, it means none of. Pistis, faith. Apistis, unbelief. No faith. Asotia means there's no salvation. It is the word unsavedness. Now, that's kind of hard to say. So you have to, you know, that's why they put it debauchery or excess or something else. All it means is being drunk with wine, there's no salvation in it. Even though we have used it for the salvation of freedom from pain, so we drink wine to lighten up the pain. Oh, well, we use it to have salvation from boredom because we all get drunk so we can have a lot of fun. See, I've seen how this is all working, but it says there's no salvation in it. It doesn't save you from anything. And there is absolutely no salvation of the Holy Spirit in it because you're trusting it instead of Him. Makes it a curse. See, I'm not just preaching against drinking. I'm teaching you the principles involved in it. Okay, I've just seen the damage that has happened to across the board people that do this. Pastor Mike can tell you what happened in his life when there was alcohol involved. Wonderful, wasn't it? Yeah. Moving on. Now you got to know, I've never, ever, ever had a drink. Yeah, weird, huh?
Never.
Never. People go, then what are you preaching about? Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I do too. It's not about the wine. It's about all these other things that we're using in our lives to supplant the things of God. To be that we trust in. It doesn't help. Do not be drunk with wine, which is unsavedness. But then we get to the second part of this, but be filled by the Spirit. Now, this is too cool because you start saying the Greek, this, but be filled by the Spirit is too cool because it's in the present imperative middle. Can I hear an amen? What? So, who cares, Lee? Okay, it's in the imperative. See, the imperative? That means it's a command. It's a command. Not a suggestion. Don't be drunk with wine is also a command, but be filled is a command. That's interesting. It's also in the present, so it's a command. In the present means it's continual or repeated action. If something has to be done continually or repeatedly. See, that makes a difference in it, doesn't it?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, but then it's in the middle voice. Now, the middle voice is something we don't have in English, so I have to explain it to you. We have two voices in English. We have active and passive. Two voices. Active, I do something. I slap somebody. That's doing something. I active. Passive means I didn't do anything, but it was done to me. Somebody slaps me. Passive. I'm just sitting there receiving the action. One, I do the action. The other, I receive the action. Middle voice in Greek is just that. It's in the middle. It's both doing it and receiving it. I both slap and receive the slap. In other words, I slap myself. Middle voice. Middle voice is painful. I don't like to teach on it very often. Okay. Middle voice is something you do to yourself. Well, this is interesting. If middle voice is something you do to yourself, being filled by the Spirit, therefore, should be translated, but continually fill yourself with the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. We've been thinking that God has to fill us with the Spirit, and the Bible is telling us, no, you fill yourself with the Spirit. That means if we look at ourselves, how Spirit-filled are we, is our fault. You're welcome. Who said thanks? Yeah, that's good. Yes, okay. It is true. You have the responsibility as a command to continually fill yourself with the Spirit. What's stopping you? How does it work? How does it work to fill yourself with the Spirit? Well, let me show you this. Filling of the Spirit is just like wine. That is why they use the analogy. Now, some of you have filled yourself with wine before. Hey, you don't have to raise your hands. That's all good. It's a little rhetorical. Which one of you? No. No condemnation. It's all good. Just like wine. Some of you know what it's like to have wine and have it affect you. Well, that's what's like this. It's an influence that affects us. It's when the Holy Spirit comes in us and causes an effect inside us. It's effective. It shows. And it's visible, observable results. My whole life growing up, okay, I was a little Baptist boy growing up in the mountains of Colorado. Beer reminds me of death. It smells like death. Why? People go, no, man, beer's good stuff. Well, see, every time I'd come on an accident where somebody died, I smelled beer. So to me, beer smells like death. See, it's just automatic. You smell it. Okay. You want a cold beer? I want a cold death? No, thank you. I'm not preaching against that. What I'm telling you is that there's a relationship. Every time I smelled it, something had happened to cause damage. Okay? We're never around this kind of stuff, but we could see visible, observable results. Okay? My brother would go out drinking and then try to hide it from my dad, which was absolutely hilarious. Dad asked him one day, were you drinking last night? No, Dad. His eyes were bloodshot, bleary. He was there. He was saying, make the cat quit stomping across the room. Okay? Dad says, well, good. I'm glad you're feeling good. Yeah, Dad, I'm feeling great. Then today's the day we need to sight in the rifles. I was there when that happened. There's something about a 30-06 that just will take you down when you're just like, ah. And he's leaning across the bench rest right there, and there's targets down there, and he's shaking like this. Wherever, nobody's safe. Somebody's going to get killed right here because it's going to hurt so bad. And he goes, boom, and his head would hit. Oh, my dad enjoyed that most thoroughly. Visible, observable result. Something from the outside causing an effect. Something from the outside causing an effect. My spirit is always filled. My spirit is always filled. My spirit's not my problem. I don't have a problem with my spirit. And the spirit is on me to touch other people. That's not where my problem lies. So therefore, my problem lies is what is the inner attitude and the inner atmosphere, what is going on in the inside that causes an effect on the outside? What is happening on the inside of me? What do I fill myself with? This is where it's going to get really, really fun. Matthew 6, 22 through 23 says this, "The lamp of the body is the eye." Now, I really need to ask this question. I need you to respond to me. How many of you guys like science? Really? You like science stuff? You like to talk about science things? If I start talking about quantum physics, would it thrill you or kill you? It'd kill you. I got some kill. Okay, well, I've answered that question. Okay. The lamp of the body is the eye. Your eye is a receiver of light. Your eye cannot transmit light. It can only receive. Now, that's huge. The lamp of the body is the eye. Whatever I put my eye on is what focuses inside me. Okay, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, all your body is light. But if your eye is evil, all your body is dark. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Every Christmas, without fail, we're wrapping presents and these tubes show up, right? You get the wrapping paper off. This is the most important tool, the most important gift you can give a kid on Christmas. This is more important than that $50 toy you bought them. They'll play with this first. Okay, this is amazing. What does everybody do with these? Well, other than make them into swords. I was telling Joel back there, this would drive a sound man crazy. Yeah, really. I could stand back there in a sound booth and make sounds on the other side of him. He can't hear. You can't find them. Aha! We could mess with him. So, love you, brother. But one of the things that everybody does is they look through them. Now, this is always fascinating because I'm looking all sorts of different people out here. There's Jesse, yay! Jesse, how's it going, man? All right, okay, that's good, you know. You can, what's really wild is, okay, if I'm looking at Eddie right now. Okay, hi, Eddie, how you doing? That's good. I cannot tell what color anything is but his shirt. Because all I see is just his head and his top part of his collar. It limits what I can see. I put it in there. Now, when you do this, your pupil goes, it's trying to suck in all this light. It's trying as hard as to find light. What happens when you're looking through this and all of a sudden you poke it up at a light? You can hear your pupil slam shut. Oh, God, that hurt! Why? Because this is exactly the type of picture we're talking about now. The lamp of the body is the eye. Whatever you focus on becomes the light that you're worshiping. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you think it's light, and it's not. It's darkness. Am I making sense to anybody? The lamp of the body is the eye. What are you going to focus on? Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. I got to hustle up here. Oop, wrong one. What I focus on is what affects me. Isn't that the truth? What I focus on affects me. What I allow as my focus becomes my worship. That's the issue. What I put my eye on is what I worship. Now, wasn't that a simple sentence to say? What I put my eye on is what I worship. How much of your life, we can talk percentages here. In a percentage basis, how much of your life is focused on yourself? Yeah, well, I'm hearing 95, I'm hearing 100, I'm hoping that's not true. Okay. How much are you focusing on you? If I walked up to somebody, oh, this is where I always get in trouble. Get the car started. Okay. If I walk up to somebody, kick him in the shin, hey! Okay? Immediately, his focus is on, why'd you do that? You hurt me. What's up with you? Okay, I can get him to focus completely on himself. The more I do it, The more he's focusing on himself, and pretty soon his focus is going to be on protecting himself, and Leah's going down. Too true, isn't it?
Yes. Okay.
We're going to go right here. Just okay. I was only three, buddy. They were pretty light. It's all good. But here, what is happening is that immediately his focus is on whom? Mm-hmm. What does the Lord say? Why am I hitting him? Why am I kicking him? What's going on? You see, if he were to hear from the Lord, he would hear what's going on in my life, not what's going on in his life. You're hearing eye for an eye, are you? Old Testament? You and I are going to go have a good discussion, buddy. All right. We got the law right here, my friend. Eye for an eye. Chin for a shin. Is that what we're going for? You got your kneecap, sucker. Okay, all right, I got you. Maybe that pick the wrong guy. There's the guy that's armed to the teeth. Right, good. Next time I'm going to go and kick Steve. Okay, now. That's true. I don't want to make light of it. It's okay. It is what I allow to be my inside influence that is the problem. Okay, let's just go on with this. This is wild. Remember this chart, somebody? Remember this? Really cool. What you choose, you can choose to walk in sin. That's all cool, and the outcome is death. The heart is the connection between the soul and the spirit. And we're going to just cut to the chase right here and know all this. And there's the wounds and choices. Click. Okay. We're cutting to the chase. That was quick. Wow. Okay. And I cannot see who I am in the spirit in those areas of hardness heart. Now let's look at how it really works. How it really works is my body is filled with defilement because I have sin in me and I live on a fallen world. Anybody here ever feel the effects of defilement? Yeah, we're there, aren't we? We're there. We understand it. Okay? Here's the problem. Everywhere we have a hardness of heart, that's filled with defilement. Everywhere I have a hardness of heart, I am tuned to the same frequency as the defilement in my body. And it's in my soul. My soul has problems in the area of the hardness of heart where God is trying to bring me life. That's the areas where I am holding Him out and I'm living in a virtual, continual death. We're supposed to preach all fun, good stuff and everybody, amen, brother, preach it. But this is a reality, isn't it? Folks, what is God's message to this church? What's stopping you? Hardness of heart is what's stopping you. Now, let's just... What happens when we color in all of these areas of hardness of heart? What are we doing now? We have an understanding, don't we? Is that we have areas that we need to deal with. Now, everybody in this room has these areas that need to be dealt with, including the pastor. What? Yes, dang! Including the speaker. Every single one of us, except for the speaker's wife. She's already obtained. Yeah, you want to be right or you want to be happy, right? There you go. See, okay. No. Folks, we all have issues, and including her, including me, including everybody I've ever met. We have issues. We've got things we've got to deal with. What happens when you don't deal with them? You stay in your defilement and you will never be all that God has called you to be. And when you sing songs like you sang today, did you set yourself up? Yeah. My soul longs for you. Does it? No, my soul longs to be left alone so my soul can worship itself. It's true. It's time we really understand what it's for. What is the purpose of this church? You see, God wants you to go further than anybody else has ever gone in Corning, California. He's bringing you knowledge and understanding to take you further than you've ever seen anybody else go. You don't even know how possible it is and how high you can go. But the issue is, are you willing to search? Are you willing to do the work necessary to bring about the change so that you can be as Christ-like on this planet as possible? Then Corning will change. Because God is calling you. He's not calling Mike to change Corning. He's calling Harvest Christian Center to change Corning, and the only way they can do that is if they change. So what's stopping you? Okay. Illustration time. All right. I love illustrations. Okay, Mr. Shins, come up here and hold this, would you? Come here. Come on. What's your name? Come on, Doug. Is that right? Come on, dude, faster. What do you think I am? Young as you? Give it a rest. Okay. Thank you very much. So let's just pour this, Okay. That's all good. Here's the deal. Spirit filled? See, is this thing filled with water? No. Why not? I got lots more water left. But the problem is, and if you can see, take out a rock, the level of water goes down. That hit my foot. Take out another one. What is this? Hardness of heart. Okay? Mike and I were out there. Yes, we went out and got these out of the riverbed. We were out in the front yard washing these things off. We're sitting there. He says, this is interesting. We're washing dirt off of sin. You know? And I picked up one of these and says, that's pretty. Isn't that pretty? I said, that's really pretty. I says, is sin supposed to be pretty? He says, that's the problem. Sin looks pretty. It's just a rock. As I get rid of these things, now, yeah, it's all right. They'll either forgive me or get healing. See how much more I could put in there? It's becoming more spirit-filled. Now, I could take out several. Praise God we did wash them, huh? Can I ever get to the point where God doesn't have more to fill me with? That's the idea. Is I got to start overflowing. Thanks. Doug, you can just sit it right down right there. Thank you. You want to take another shot at the shins on the way by? Are you sure? You had your chance. Thank you for your help. You getting the idea? So, you know, I can come to somebody and go, what's in your soul that's stopping you from being the Christian God wants you to be? Hardness of heart. What have you been convicted of lately? What is it that God has brought into your life and said, you got to get this out of there? And you said, I don't want to. I like it. Why would God tell you that? Because He wants you to not have any more fun? No, He wants to show you what real fun is. He wants to show you what joy is. Playing a video game is fun. But if it consumes your life and consumes your time and consumes your relationship so that your wife can't know who you are, if it's the whole focus you got going, why would God ask you to give that up? Because it's hardness of heart on what He's trying to bring through you to somebody else. It's not about how sinful it is. The sin is in the disobedience. Doesn't that make sense? healing, forgiveness, repentance. These are the things that God has brought us, things that we can do to do something with the hardness of heart. Well, what happens when you apply those? Boom. You get rid of hardness of heart. What does that do? It softens and opens the heart from the things of the Spirit, and boom! In an area where I was unsaved, now in that area, I am saved. This is unsavedness. This is salvation of the soul. What am I offering? I'm offering to allow the salvation that's in your spirit to come into your soul in areas in your life you've never even known possible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, where's the Spirit of the Lord? Well, the Spirit of the Lord is in your spirit. So you can forensically look at somebody's life and see where there's no freedom in it, and that's an area where the Holy Spirit is not. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. See, you can't deny the logic on this thing. It's just, the problem is the emotions behind it. It stirs us up, doesn't it? Well, what about that one? And then that one. What is really cool is when I got born again, sure, I have hardness of heart, but look at all the white areas. Those are areas that when I got born again, there was an instant change in my soul where the salvation of God did come into my soul in certain areas, and He did change it. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit can now work out through me, but watch this. See, we look at the white. The white was the areas where God was able to touch me immediately. There's no hardness of heart. Now we've got a real fun thing, is how much green is there and how much blue is there. See, God's been working on you, hasn't He? The Holy Spirit's been trying to touch your soul, hasn't He? Why are you getting angry at somebody? You're getting angry all because of selfishness. You're getting angry all because that's a way of you protecting you. It's all about you. There are exceptions. Every now and then there's godly indignation. There's righteous anger. Everybody always likes to bring that up. But let me ask you, how many times in your life have you been angry because of your flesh, and how many times have you been angry because of the Spirit of God? Okay? That pretty much killed it right there. Okay, I have had and experienced godly anger. It never is against a person. It's always against the sin that is killing that person. Look, it goes down into the body. Anybody here need any healing? Chances are 87 to 95% of the diseases in our bodies are based in your emotions. And you say, what? 87 to 95, depending on which study you look at, of the diseases that we are in our bodies are there because of emotional entanglements. They're there because of something. Almost always because of a judgment made. We judge somebody else and we condemn them and they are worthy of execution, and then we do anything even slightly like it and our bodies fulfill the execution. And our bodies put us in damage and destruction because it's executing the judgment we made. Am I stirring the pot? Am I just bringing up a whole bunch of... Everybody said, go away. Go back to coal. But this is the good part. Where I have freedom, those are the areas, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. Worship happens when I get freedom. And why don't people have just an awesome time of worship? Why are we not just the most worshipful people in the world? Because we have so much hardness of heart, our soul is not free to worship. Ephesians 4. This was brought up yesterday at our meetings. Watch this. And indeed, He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers with a view to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all may come into the unity of faith and into the fullness of knowledge of the Son of God, into a full-grown man, into the measure of the stature of the of Christ. All this is there. Why are we being given the fivefold ministry? Is to perfect the saints. What does the word perfect mean? It's the Greek word. Catartizo. Now, catartizo, artizo means to adjust. Kata means down, and it means to down adjust. It means to adjust it to a fine point. Now, I've got on my phone a tuning app that I can flip to it, and I can tune my bass, and I can get that bass to be perfect. But before that came along, it took an ear. And when we were in Russia, I had a guy there that was a phenomenal guitarist, and he heard I played guitar. He says, "Can I come over and play with you?" And I said, "Sure." On the outside, cool. On the inside, I'm going, "Oh my God, he's going to make me look like an idiot." So I went home and I tuned my guitar, and I took a half an hour. I worked on that thing and worked on that, and it sounded perfect. Scott walked in the door, came over and sat down, and I hit a chord. And he says, "Can I tune your guitar for you?" Sure. And he went, and it was better. What did he do? See, I artizoed it. He kata artizoed it. He fine-tuned it. What are all these here for? To perfect the saints. To bring all the saints to a point where they are fine-tuned. That's what we're there for. What I put my eye on is what I worship. So what? It's what I allow to be my inside influence. What do I need? I need some help dealing with that. Now, I got another illustration here for you. So, Mike, I'm going to need your help on this one. Because you know what I'm doing, more or less. You can hide that. Did we bring any towels up here? No.
Don't make a mess.
Oh, we're brilliant. I'll tell you that for a fact. Okay. That's your soul. A little black, a little dark. Okay? That's kind of an amazing, amazing, interesting thing. Okay? For me to have the Holy Spirit come into this, I'm going to have to do something. What am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to get rid of some. Okay? So, let's get rid of some. Oh, let's get rid of a lot. We're just having a good day. And okay? Isn't that good? I'm going to take that. A little faith here, brother. All right. I'm going to put some oil in there. So what about them Broncos, eh? Don't even talk about it. All right. Boo. Okay. What's happening? Can anybody tell? I'm putting oil in there, right? I'm putting the oil of the Holy Spirit in myself. I am actually filling myself with the Spirit. How cool. However, I'm kind of done, huh? Isn't that cool? You sure see a difference, can't you? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Anybody who's going to be doing ministry is going to come alongside. And here's what's going to happen is they've got to dig down deep inside you and start getting rid of stuff. She saw that decision happen, didn't she? She's like, "Oh, hey, no, no, get back up." Okay. You see, ministry from others helps us get rid of the junk, so we can be filled of the Spirit. If you're not willing to have ministry done to you, you'll never get filled the way you need to. God brought us together. For the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. But what does it say first? Huh? Confess your faults one to another and... Anybody ever read your Bible? Come on, is there anybody there? Confess your faults one to another and be healed. That was my wife.
She's brilliant, see?
That's what we're trying for, folks, is to get the filling. Thank you, sir. I used to use his brother for coming up doing illustrations all the time. I started calling him Vanna. He hurt me. All right. The filling of the Holy Spirit requires me to empty myself. It requires me to empty myself. What is the priority of my life? What is it? I've got to get rid of distractions. You know, have you ever heard preachers preach, that man's boat is his idol? You guys, you know people that own boats, right? Or that man's car is his idol. Nah. That man's boat is his offering to his idol. That man's car is his offering to his idol. Okay? How do I know that? If he has a chance to get a bigger boat, he's taking it. He's not worshiping that boat. Yeah. All right. We got to get rid of the excuses. The question is, what's stopping you from being the Christian that God's called you to be? Yeah. What's stopping you from getting rid of that? We've got to get rid of those hindrances. What's hindering me? We've got to get rid of those. You know what's keeping you ineffective. Listen, you know. Isn't that sad? You know what's causing problems in your own life. God's been talking to you about it a lot. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is right there. What He has is better. It really is. It's so much better. Okay? So, question is, what do you fill yourself with? What are you filling yourself with? Whatever we focus on is what we fill ourselves with. It usually goes in two directions. We're either filled with the flesh or we're filled with the Spirit. One or the other. You carry the Holy Spirit on this planet. But will we let Him fill us? Well, that's the cute little devotional I had for you today. That's all of it. What's the Lord telling you? What's stopping you from being more? From being what God has called you to be? I want everybody to hold up your right hand like this. Turn it around. Bring it down and look at it. I want you to say, this is the hand that houses healing. This is the hand God wants to use. This hand has miracles in it. So what's stopping you from using it? You're left-handed? Lord, change him. Alright, how's that? But really, what is it? Your hand is the hand that's doing it. You are the source of healing for Corning. You are. You're the source. It's you. You are the powerful person of God. You house the Holy Spirit. You have Him indwelling you. He's on you for ministry. What's stopping you is how much you're filled. And that's all up to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, today. I thank You for what You're doing. That You're changing us and You're bringing us closer and closer and closer and closer to You. And Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for that. Lord, You are a mighty and an awesome God. We must listen to You. We have need of You more than ever before. And You, Lord, are awesome. May we hear You today. Lord, come across this crowd right now. Lord, would You show each one, every single person here, something that's in their life that needs to be submitted to You. And if you just felt that and saw it and you felt the, I don't want to get rid of it. You know the struggle. Don't let it have a hold on your life. Thank You, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your spirit, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never given your life to Him, that would be today. That would be today. If that's something that is just coming across you, you just know that God is calling you to be more, and He's calling you into His kingdom, and you've never given your life to Jesus, today's your day. You need to do that. If that's you, I really ask you, just come on up here. If that's you, why? Why should we worry about what people think? You're coming to receive the absolute entrance into the kingdom of God. If that's you today, come on up. If you don't want to do that, then you talk to the pastor after church. You talk to so many people in this room. Talk to Donna. Talk to Steve. Talk to somebody and say, I really need this Jesus. I really need this relationship with Him. That's you today. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Piece of cake. Any one of us can help you walk through that. Any one of us. It's time today. But what about your filling? That's the biggest issue. Father, we thank You for all You've done for us. We just give You praise, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I am. Traditionally, in our churches nowadays, just to be the common table, let's receive a love offering for Lee. We did that by faith. We sent a love offering at the beginning of January. We took a step of faith in the same way that God gives us the keys to the kingdom. It's all given to us beforehand, and we wanted to kind of act out and be proactive and apply the things that God's been teaching. So we sent a love offering for Lee. But yesterday, God put it in my heart. And Leslie is your name, right? They took your calls this morning?
Brittany.
Is in Colorado this morning and standing behind his pulpit and ministering to his church. And I would like, if you close today, to receive a love offering by faith for her. Bless her.
Wow.
See, there's things being broken in doing things like this. We're taking a step of faith. We're not receiving a love offering based on Lee's performance this morning or what you got out of it. We, by faith, feed it into his ministry knowing that God was going to send him with a word for us. And by faith, we know that she said the body there this morning. And I would like to feed into that this morning.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
This has been, finance has been a stronghold in churches way too long.
Amen.
And it's time that we learn how to give, and it's time we learn how to receive. A lot of us have that giving heart and understand what it is to humble ourselves and give, but it is really different to humble yourself and be on the receiving end of it. Often, okay? But things like this, to send a love offering to her, we don't know who she is, but by faith we know she ministers to the body in Indianapolis, Colorado. Amen?
Amen.
So I would ask to just pray about it. It shouldn't take long. God will put something on your heart. And just be obedient to what God says. And Marcos, if you would be prepared to receive that on the way out the door this morning. And what a great time. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue this at 6 o'clock tonight. Please come back. And tomorrow night, we're going to continue it. Yes? It won't be the same. It will not be the same message. Right? I knew that. No, it won't be the same message, but we will continue to teach tonight at 6 o'clock and tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Should we teach you more? Yes, sir? The CDs will be available.
Okay.
Yes, we will have all the CDs available. Eric?
Need
a ride tonight? We'll get you.
Here.
All right. We got you covered. Well, I'm glad to see you. We're glad you're here, brother. All right. Awesome. We will be there to pick you up. Okay? All right. Let's stand and pray this morning. And I want to introduce, and forgive me, my wife said,
you forgot to introduce me what?
Well, I do too. I love that. This is his wife, Roxy. She's up here in the front. Oh, she would stand up, and she has my daughter sleeping in her arms right now. All crashed out. So. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you guys for coming out. This is just the beginning. I look forward to tonight and tomorrow night, and I've just been blessed with time with me and my family. Like I said, this is my friend. This is my family that's here today. So. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that your word always challenges us. It always, it loves on us. It gives us hope. It never condemns. But Lord, it does reveal those things that hinder our walk with you. It does reveal, Lord God, the things that you, it's like it throws the light on it and it says, that's stopping us. Lord, may we be obedient to let you right in the middle of everything that we are. Lord, that we could truly sing that song that freedom reigns in this place isn't about a building. It's about inside of our heart and inside of our lives. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. I bless these, your people, this morning, oh God, and I thank you for each one of them. And filled with joy, Lord, to be a part of each of their lives. But bring us back safely tonight, Lord, and prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. We give you praise, thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.